All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. It is November the 23rd, Wednesday. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Cool. It's actually really a nice day. It is the day before Thanksgiving. Hope everyone's having a great day before Thanksgiving Day and got great plans wherever you're at. I know we are looking forward to it. Just got back from Connecticut. Had a great time up in the city. Went to see Wicked. Great play. The city is doing just fine. It is busy and crowded and crazy and awesome. Had a lot of fun visiting up there. Got to take a little break. Hung out up in Connecticut with my in-laws. Just love to do that. Kind of step away from everything. Took all the kids. Kind of reconnected a little bit. I don't know about you, but as a family of five, sometimes it's easy to get a little disconnected from your children. We sort of get into our routines. And so it was nice to kind of get up there, especially with our oldest son, David. He's, 17 and, he wants to take on the world. And so it's not that we don't see eye to eye. I don't think we're supposed to really see eye to eye at this point in our relationship, which I think is great because, he's ready to go on and take on the world, and that's exactly what you hope for as a parent, right? You want to raise your children and have them be, be able to take care of themselves, hopefully. So it was just fun to reconnect. We got to play a lot of pool and just hang out and went out to dinner and, like I said, went into the city. And then, of course, on the way back, well, we went into New York City one night, and then we went into New Rochelle another day. And my son's like, can we go back to the city? I'm like, no, David. I mean, it's a whole thing to get into the city. I mean, we had to ride in the train and, it was a thing. And he's like, well, can I go back by myself? I'm like, no, you can't. Why? I'm like, I don't know. You just can't. You can't go back to New York City at 17 by yourself. Well, I'm almost 18. And I'm like, yeah, but, I guess he'll be going to New York City on his own when he turns 18. We'll see how that goes, but he is all revved up and, so that's what's been going on. Haven't done the podcast in a few days. Did get to a meeting last night. Hadn't been to that meeting in a while. There was a call made to a friend of mine who made a call to me saying that an old friend of ours was coming back. Right. And I'm like, well, good, right? This person should come back. But sometimes people want everybody to drop everything because they've decided to come back, right? And I get that. And I would have done that years ago, right? But I know one thing, man. It takes a lot to be sober. It takes a lot of work. And it takes a lot of willingness and surrendering, right? And I think those are the same word. I think they mean the same thing, which is all just humility. And I know the amount of effort I put into just trying to stay sober on a daily basis. And I'm not sure everybody is aware of the amount of work or willing. So, which is fine. I don't think I was aware or willing when I first came in, but I know today what it takes. And it takes a lot more than everybody just rallying around you and patting you on the back because you've, fucked up, done something, got yourself in a pickle, and now you've seen the light and decide you're ready to get sober, and you expect everybody to jump into place because you made that choice. And listen, I went to the meeting. I love this guy. I hope he gets sober. I've been rooting for him for many years. I think that's kind of why I was slightly hesitant. Because, I think I said the other day in that podcast, saying yes to no and no to yes. What should feel good isn't always great, right? Part of me believes you should walk in. There should be nobody waiting for you. You should walk in and you should start from the beginning like every other common Joe. But some people, they suffer from them, right? It's a disease of self. And it was interesting because It was interesting. Good luck. I'm gonna give him I'm gonna go to a meeting tonight. I'm gonna give him a call and just let him know I'm going to a meeting if you want to meet me down there. Because I still, you know, need to stay sober and still need to go to meetings and I know what it takes. And so, but we'll see. But the topic last night was love and suffering. It was read out of as Bill Sees It, and I think it was 27, page 27, and I don't know, I can't recite it word for word, but I know the words suffering and love were in there, and basically we're bound by suffering and love, and, you know, to me, man, I always say, man, if I'm not living, I'm not suffering, and if I'm not suffering, I'm not living.
Knew I would find you at the bottom of the bottle, down below, dwelling in the dark. Knew I would find you right where the devil left you. God save your rotten soul and bless your drunken heart.
Yeah, I find the funniest songs. But yeah, the word suffering, you know, and I do believe that, you know, and I learned a lot of this stuff through running. It really exposed both sides of me. You know, when I always say you want to get sober, start running, right? And expose yourself to you, because it's a sketchy situation up there. And you know, I feel like we're all we're raised to think that everything good is what's good for us and that everything is bad is what's bad for us. And it's just not the case. And, you know, and I shared in the meeting, I go, you know, if I'm not suffering, I'm not living. If I'm not suffering, I'm not getting sober. That to me is the real deal, because the real disease that I suffer from is a disease that the self-centered side of me wants to do whatever that self-centered side of me wants to do. Good or bad. And, you know, and I shared in the meeting last night, I said, listen, coming to meetings, that's suffering. You know, this is an hour I would rather be at home. And I think that in the end, that's the way it's supposed to be. You know, we come to a program, we work the steps, we learn, we get better, we finish, and our life improves 1,000 times, right? We get families, we get careers, we get, you know, out of the gutter, we make the 180 degree shift in our lives and life gets better. And that's how it's supposed to be. You know, we're not supposed to get sober, go through the program, work all the steps, and then be miserable, right? It's not the way it's supposed to work. Our life's supposed to get better. And then in the end, we still need to go to meetings, because it says at the end, in the 12th step, having had the spiritual awakening and followed these steps, you know, our job really now is to be there for the next alcoholic. That means that you need to be at meetings, you know, always have the handout for the next person. And I would rather not go to a meeting, right? I would rather my disease tells me you're good. You should stay home. It's too cold, right? It's too, who cares? You know, that, and that's kind of what happened. You know, someone said, oh, so-and-so's back, right? We need to all be there. We need to rally around him. And I'm like, eh, fuck it. Yeah, fuck that. You know, I've rallied a few times for certain people in this program. And I don't feel like going to this whole, like, special event. I don't like to see a self-centered person to take away from a group of people that have been working hard on trying to get sober. I think it's very frustrating, but I totally get it, right? You know, we got to be there. We got to welcome them, want them to feel good. And at first I wasn't going to go to the meeting, and then finally I was like, yeah, I'm going to go. And he was there, and it's exactly what I thought it was going to be, which was fine. You know, in the end, it is about getting sober, however we do it, right? Whatever path. And I hope this is his last, you know, bump in the road. But I can tell you, it was a pretty big bump. I mean, I don't see how getting sober wasn't the only option, you know, because this person didn't seem like they wanted to be sober last week, right? But all of a sudden shit hits a fan. And you know, the funny thing is that, and I've seen this happen, it's very seasonal. You'll see people that do things, or you hear people that do things, and the next thing you know, they're in the rooms trying to get sober, whether they're trying to look good for court or whatever it is, which is fine. But, you know, we were here last week. We were here 2 weeks ago. We were here 3 weeks ago. So, and I don't want to be negative, because it's really, it doesn't matter. Just get in any way you can, and we are here. And I was there, and I hope, you know, I wish him the best of luck, and, you know, I hope it sticks this time. But, fuck, it takes a lot of damn work to get sober, right? It takes a lot. It's funny. It didn't take a lot of work to actually get sober. It takes a lot of work to stay sober, right? Because when I had my final moment, there was no other option for me than quitting drinking, getting sober. And the definition of sobriety is to be free of drink. And so to be sober, all you have to do is quit drinking. That's it. No drink, you're sober, right? I see, you know, people do sober November or sober October. And for the month of October, they don't drink. They're sober for the month of October. They're not drinking. But the serenity part, the you know, the next step is, you know, what I really like. And that requires a lot of freaking work, right? You got to surrender. You got to give up. You know, you got to let go of all the shit that you think is important. You know, I say, what you think, do the opposite, right? Because usually in the beginning, you know, it's all about what I want and what I need and what I think. And none of those have gotten me anywhere good. So I say, you know, in the beginning, just do the opposite. If you don't think you want to go to a meeting, go to a meeting, you know? If you think you want to go to a meeting, go to a meeting. Except in that case, right? But it sucks, right? It's suffering. You know, it's, you know, I was thinking about this last night. You know, when I'm a normal, like right today, I'm a normal person, right? There's nothing, you know, I'm not under the influence. I have been under the influence. I'm just a normal guy dealing with normal stuff in life. If I drink a drink of alcohol, I open up the gates of hell. I become a completely different person. I think differently. I respond to things differently. I wake up differently. I have lunch differently. I have dinner differently. I go to bed differently. I have a different relationship with people. I have a different relationship with my bank. Everything is different. Because at that moment, I open up the gates of hell. And I am at that point a possessed person by self. I've let self in, and once self is in, it is, you can't get him back out. And, you know, the only way that that seems to magically disappear is when ego, self, is completely humiliated. Like, it's weird, but, you know, when you see a person get humiliated, you see the reaction and, you know, oh my God, poor person, right? But when self gets humiliated, you can't see it happen, you feel it, though. And those are those moments when that window opens up, right? Like the Anthony Kiedis talked about, that small window opens up. You know, it usually involves stitches, car crashes, inappropriate behavior. You know, it's been in the news lately. I mean, the one of the coaches for one of the, you know, big NFL teams, they had a big game. He got arrested DUI, 4 in the morning, you know, kicked off the team, celebrating, right? He probably is thinking about sobriety at this point, right? I saw another coach from another team. He got kicked off the team because he groped a woman. I'm sure alcohol was involved, right? Most people just don't grope women, right? Most people that are sober and just normal. I mean, of course, you do have a few out there, I'm sure. But for the most part, you're not groping women. But put a few drinks in us. Next thing you know, you're smacking women on the ass and doing all sorts of saying things and behaving in certain ways. And then the next morning when you get called out on it, you're mortified. You're mortified at your behavior. And then that window, that's ego is completely devastated. Self is even embarrassed. And there's a little opening of the window, and some people can jump on it. You know, this person that I know, you know, there was a big event that happened, unfortunately, due to his consumption. And we'll not get into details because, which was funny because he said, please, I would prefer nobody talk about this. Like, it's exactly what a self-centered person would say. But I agree, we're anonymous. But, you know, it was a big event. And here we are back starting over. And listen, sometimes that's what it takes, just that little window of opportunity. But the problem is that time shows up, right? And, you know, if you'd asked me the day after I got in that fight, the day after my ego was devastated and humiliated, you know, I would have told you, it's the worst day of my life. I can't believe this. I'm so ashamed and embarrassed, and I got to get together. You know, you asked me the second day, and I'd be like, yeah, it was terrible. You know, ask me a week later, and I'm like, oh, you know, I'm doing the right thing. You know, we'll see. I'm doing the right thing. We'll see how it goes. You know, 2 weeks, a month after the stitches have left and, you know, the cars have been replaced and the tickets have been paid and the courts have been, you know, most people that get themselves in a jam will hang in there until court, right? Until their sentencing or whatever it is at the final conclusion of whatever bad thing went down, you know, and then once court is done and they're like, okay, shit, I'm not going to go to jail. The voices start showing back up, you know? And that's the toughest time because, you know, a lot of people will stay sober to look good, which I think is great, you know, look good. Maybe it'll stick. But time, day after day, and the pain fades and the memories fade. And then the next thing you know, self shows back up. I'm glad you didn't go to jail. We could probably drink again. Next thing you know, you're fucking drinking again. It's a nightmare. And so the amount of work that it takes to stay sober and hopefully, because in the end, at least for me, it was about recognizing what a self-centered pig I am, right? Self-centered asshole with a deficiency in God, which means to me, I'm possessed by the devil and I'm deficient in God. And that's what it is, you know, call it whatever you want. That's what it is. Because when I am under the influence, I am not the regular person that I used to be. I am a completely different person. And I love, you know, I think about this all the time, that movie The Exorcist, that little girl that got possessed. I mean, she was a great little kid, right? And then she gets possessed. The devil comes into her, right? And it's the same thing with me, except my entrance is with a bottle of vodka. But the whole world changed. You say shit to people, you cuss, you know? When I was drunk, man, I would say some of the foulest shit to people. The most hurtful, painful, devastating things. And especially to my parents. And I don't even know why that is. They always say that you hurt the ones that are closest to you. And the real feelings of how I felt would come out. And it was bad. Very embarrassing. But that's all when I open up the gates of hell. When I drink that vodka and it lets that darkness in, it's you know, I might as well be strapped to a bed with my head spinning and fucking puke coming out of my mouth, because that's exactly how I am, minus the head spinning. Just a complete opposite person of who I am today. And that's really freaking scary. And listening to this person's story, you know, they did one thing and made them feel good about themselves. They started feeling pretty good. They felt like people were giving them attention. The next thing you know, they're like, why not have a drink? And, you know, what was really scary was just talking about the black and driving drunk and, you know, being like waking up in the morning and then realizing that, you know, you can see on your, you know, your monitoring system for your house that the door was open at 2:15. You know, the car was gone. It's just this whole world. And I was like, oh, my God, very scary. So I hope it works out. It's a my problem is that I have got to figure out how to be a little more compassionate, right? because I feel like we come in, we settle in, we get some time, we do time, and then the next thing you know, we're becoming critical. And I'll speak for me, you know, I'll come in, I'll be like, I don't know how this guy's ever going to get sober. And good luck, right? Or, you know, I just had a guy that wanted to, he was looking for like a sponsor, and I was like, yeah, you know, call me every day. Called me one day, and then didn't call. And I know exactly what he was going through. Probably just didn't feel like calling. And the next day he was like, well, I didn't call. Maybe I probably shouldn't call now. And just disappeared off the face of the earth. And I'm like, shit, you know, I was wanting to, you know, sit down, read some steps, whatever I can do to try to help. And it never even got going because, you know, and then I saw him a week later and then he texts me and he's like, I'm going back down, you know, down south. And I'm like, all right, man, you know, good luck. It's just crazy how hard it is to get sober. And it's tough. But I am, you know, and I, like I said, you know, I'm a big believer in the suffering, you know. And when I started running, I started suffering. And there's something really magical that happens when you push through the suffering. It's just amazing. You know, it's like, you know, if you're at a meeting and you want to share and you're suffering, you know, you're like, you know, and that voice is like, don't share. Oh, you have nothing to say. Oh, blah, blah, blah. And you fill your head with all this nonsense, 100 reasons not to share. And you're like pretty steadfast with the idea. And then all of a sudden your mouth opens. You're like, hey, my name's Tom and I'm an alcoholic. And at that point, self's like, shit. All right. We almost had him. We'll wait. And you share, and then once you share, you're like, oh my God, you know, this relief, this comfort comes over you. Like, oh my, it's like it's a mini miracle. And that's life for me, you know? It's saying, and I sort of hinted to this the other day, I'm not saying no to anything anymore. You know, I've had this revelation that at some point in my life, I stood strong on some things that I thought I didn't like, and I stood strong on some things that I thought I did like, and it's kind of carried me to this point. And I'm realizing there's a lot of things I don't do that I would like. And for some reason I'd listen to that voice and have chosen not to do it, but I'm tired of that. Right. I want to try to do everything I can. I want to eat everything I can. I want to experience everything I can. I want to make the most of this life. I don't want these voices telling me, oh, don't do that. Or you won't be good at that. It's ridiculous. And, but you know, it's funny when we were up in Connecticut, my father-in-law, he's so funny. Like he will not try anything, right? He is this, I told him, I go, you're a 72-year-old, 9-year-old because he doesn't want his food touching. Food can't mix with other food, right? You know, like when you're a kid, you don't want your mashed potatoes mingling with your peas and stuff like that. He is that way, which is fine, but I'm like, God, you gotta, you know, we were talking about, he always wears blue jeans. I'm like, you gotta try some of these pants, Jerry. I mean, these pants are awesome. They are these Wrangler pants that I found at Walmart, and they're like kind of stretchy. They're awesome. They're I think they're $24 at Walmart. And I wear these pants every day, and they just always, you know, one thing about blue jeans, at least for me, is when I, you know, you put them in the dryer, right, and they get them all right, and you put them on. Jeans were like a big part of my young adult life, going out in 501s or 545s or whatever they were, you know, always looking good out. But by the end of the night, they're hanging off your ass, they're baggy. You can only wear them once because they stretch out. And that I hate that because I hate rewashing clothes just so they'll fit. It's one thing if they're dirty, but to just have to wash them and dry them because they don't fit, that's annoying. So I found these pants. They fit the same way every time I put them on. They're really work pants. I wear them in the salon because they don't seem to get stained or anything, and they're cheap. But, man, they're just so comfortable. I'm like, Jerry, you got to try these pants. Nope. I'm like, you just got to try them. I don't want to try them. I don't want to try them. I like my blue jeans. I go, okay, you know, because I'm, you know, it's getting around Christmas. I'm trying to think of ideas. I'm like, maybe I'll buy Jerry some of these pants. I don't want to try them. I'm not going to try them. Tom, don't send them to me. I will not try them. I'm like, okay. And then we got into this conversation. We were coming back from New York about mango. And Jerry's like, I don't like mango. I go, have you ever had it? He goes, nope. And I don't want to try it. I don't like it. I'm like, you've never tried a mango? He's like, nope. And I go, oh, I got to get you a mango so you can try. He goes, I'm not trying it. I'm not going to try it. I'm like, oh, my God. And mango is one of the, every time I eat mango, I say, I don't think that there's anything in this world that tastes better than this mango. Mangoes just are so good. Do I eat them all the time? No. My daughter likes mangoes, so we get them, and I'll eat some then. But, you know, they're delicious. But he will not try them. I'm like, geez, Jerry, you're really missing out, you know. And he's like that with a lot of things. You know, he doesn't want to try it. He's set in his ways, and that's fine. But the problem is that you just miss out on so much stuff. And that's kind of how I was. Maybe not as strict. My peas and my mashed potatoes can definitely mix, I think. But there was definitely a time in my life when I didn't want anything to touch. At some point, I'm like, who cares, right? And that's kind of how I am now. Like, who cares how it's going to end up? I mean, maybe I'll be embarrassed. You know, playing basketball with the Harlem Wizards the other day, you know, as I get there and the rest of the team's showing up, the team that I'm playing on, I'm realizing all these guys are great at basketball. I am not. I am not good at basketball. In fact, I'm the guy that shoots, you know, from the chest straight out with both hands. Ooh, you know, like a kid. Because I just never played, and I don't know how to really shoot with that one arm, like, you know, Kobe Bryant or something, you know, that nice basketball shot. I don't have it. But everybody did, so I'm trying to do this shot. I'm terrible. The auditorium is packed with people. They're all staring at us practicing. And I'm like, I look like a total fool, I'm sure. But and then I go, I don't really care, right? What do I care? What do I care what people think of me? Is this an amazing experience or what? And it was. People are like, how'd you get to do that? I go, I don't know. Somebody called and asked me if I wanted to do it. I said, yeah, I'll do it. You know, then you have those people, I'll never do that. But how'd you get to? It's like somebody asked me and I said, yes. Simple as that. And now I've done it. That night I'm like, ask me every year. I will do this every year. This was so much fun. Now I'm like, maybe once is good. Now, if she called and asked me if I wanted to do it again, I would absolutely do it. I would not say no, but I also want somebody else to experience that. I thought that was really fun. But listen, it wouldn't have happened if I hadn't said yes. And that's how, you know, life is today, you know. Singing at karaoke, dancing at weddings, trying different foods. You know, anything that I can do to just fill my life with more experiences, the better, I think. So that's what I'm going to keep doing. Find as many cool things to do and keep trying them. Let's do a reading. We got one here. Daily Reflections. I'd like to do, I've said this before, I'd like to do As Bill Sees It. I thought that was really a great reading last night. It was funny. A lot of people shared on that reading. And it's funny how many people have a different take on that. All right, it says, hold your face to the light, Carrie Ann. No, hold your face to the light, November the 23rd. Believe more deeply, hold your face up to the light, even though the moment you do not see. As Bill Sees It, page 3. One Sunday in October, during my morning meditation, I glanced out the window at the ash tree in our front yard. At once, I was overwhelmed by its magnificent golden color. As I stared in awe at God's work of art, the leaves began to fall, and within minutes, the branches were bare. Sadness came over me as I thought of the winter months ahead. But just as I was reflecting on autumn's annual process, God's message came through. Like the trees stripped of their leaves in the fall, sprout new blossoms in the spring, I had my compulsive, selfish ways removed by God in order for me to blossom into a sober, joyful member of AA. Thank you, God, for the changing seasons and for my ever-changing life. Yeah. That's a good point. And we do change, right? And I think part of what I was saying is that, you know, I change and then I get to a better place and then I start to look down from that ivory tower and be kind of critical of others. And I need to not do that because it's not healthy and it's not good for me and it's not serenity. And serenity is what is important. And I'll keep striving. I hope everyone has a great holiday. We'll get back into this next week. And take care.